Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to two free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
The Rockets lost their fifth straight game last night to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and I'm ticked off about how tired they looked down the stretch, playing a team on the second night of a back-to-back. They had a night off. Playing an Anthony Davis, who had scored 49 points the night before. He scores 41 and crushed it in the fourth quarter while you looked tired out there. But, listen, it's one game. The Rockets have plenty of season left, but they do have to find a way to pull up Joe out of this nosedive. It's been pretty ugly, and it's killing the vibes.
Yeah, because it's not really – it's five games.
Yeah.
It's five games of vibes being down bad. And then now we got all these nervous feelings in our bellies about tomorrow's game in Dallas. Just worried about the guys. Want to make sure they're okay.
It's an afternoon game, too. Ew.
Yeah, back-to-back afternoon games is very strange.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what – I guess if Sunday has to be in the afternoon to avoid the Super Bowl –
that makes sense.
Then, but you don't want to do a night game than a day game.
That
– I guess.
Probably is the reason.
Yeah.
Have to get through customs.
You're so small.
Right?
No, second game's in Houston.
Oh, okay. But it is against the Raptors, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they want to get that Saturday game the least amount of people watching, too. I don't know if they moved the time up of that game.
The National Guard's only available at 4. So.
What if they played that game at 5:30 in the morning?
Or it's like a soccer punishment where like the fans like get too rowdy or whatever, so they just play in an empty stadium.
Yeah. Oh man,
because they can't be trusted.
Yeah, like the pandemic again. Yeah, Allie LaForce had a report yesterday on TNT where she basically said that the players' safety is something to be concerned about. And remember, it's only a game while talking about the Mavericks after the Luka Doncic trade. Everyone knows the trade's so bad. But the fact that we've gotten to that point is pretty sad. So Kevin Durant was not traded at yesterday's trade deadline. And many people believe this means that Durant is going to be traded this summer. Brian Windhorst said this. He wasn't happy when he was put into trade talks. I think it's unpredictable what will happen the next few months because it's the nature of the sport. But I think right now it is reasonable to forecast that Durant will be breaking up with the Suns in the summer. We also got this from Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, who said that things are very, very awkward in the Suns locker room.
The word I would use, I mean, he said glum, I'll use toxic.
Wow.
like that shoot around yesterday I heard was very awkward, very weird in Oklahoma City because everybody was on pins and needles wondering what they were going to do. And I think now you have this reset where how do you move forward as a team when there was a clear mandate here, like they have to do something. And if they're not able to get anything done, which is, as we say, you talked about it in the open, there's aprons, there's all this stuff.
I mean,
it's really hard to do something. And the thing they were trying to do did not come to fruition because Kevin Durant said no. It's hard to move forward. And that's where they're left.
Toxic.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't try to just move him out of there. Like, we got the report. I think it was the last night after the Rockets game.
Minnesota, per Crispy Haynes, started sniffing around when he said that he did not want to go to the Golden State Warriors as part of that three-team trade.
I mean, it would have made a lot of sense for Minnesota and for Phoenix. We're like, yeah, you just tried to trade this guy. You're probably not going to make the playoffs now. So you know he's going to demand a trade eventually. So yes, you'll eventually get assets in return, but he's probably going to get sent home at some point this season because of how awkward it's going to get.
That's an interesting one. Yeah, at what point do the Suns shelve him? Because it does stand to reason if things are toxic in the locker room and it's awkward for the shoot around, like that's gonna hang around for a while. I would say at least until the All-Star break, and do the Suns find themselves out of the play-in race by that point?
I will say At least Kevin Durant has a lot of experience with this. With the awkward, I guess we just have to finish the season on this team. Like, it's going to be weird with Kyrie Irving sitting out for all the games and then only half the games. And then it's going to be weird because Draymond Green screamed at me and called me a bitch in the locker room in November. And now we have to play for 7 more months.
Yeah, that's true. He can give Devin Booker a lesson.
He's like, listen, we don't have to be friends, all right? We just need to get through the next 35 games out of our season.
And I don't know if it's toxic between the players, more or less. It's just toxic with the front office.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm Kevin Durant, like, I do understand being a little pissed off. Yeah. I do understand being like, I was actively shopped, and then I had to step in and be like, I don't want to go back to the place I voluntarily left 5 years ago. Like, that, with all the same coach, same best player, same guy who called me a bitch in November of that year. same everything. Nothing changed for Golden State other than they got worse when he left.
And they got a new GM. That's it.
Yeah. Mike Dunleavy Jr.
I wonder what he looks at the Suns, though, and thinks to himself. I mean, how much better are the Suns than Golden State? Devin Booker is younger. That's really all I got.
Yeah. They're both teams that are like, this is what, when people say the West got better, I'm like, yeah, I guess. But the 11 and 12 seeds got better. I don't know. It really isn't that much of a difference between the Warriors and the Suns in my mind, as far as how good they are. Both like 8, 9 seeds, maybe. But if you don't want to go to Golden State and Phoenix was ready to ship you off for Golden State, by the way, to get a worse player, to get Jimmy Butler.
That's what's so strange.
Who's worse than Kevin Durant. That this seems like Brian Windhorst is right, and then we are 4 months away from KD trade saga, what, number 3 in our lifetime?
Is that all it is?
I think so.
Feels like it's more than, I mean, yeah, the West got deeper. Like, the 8 seed Mavericks got Anthony Davis for Luka. The 9 seed Suns did the same thing. They stood pat. The 10 seed Kings got rid of De'Aaron Fox and brought in Zach LaVine. The 11 seed Warriors brought in Jimmy Butler. The 12 seed Spurs brought in De'Aaron Fox. Oh, and then the 13 seed Portland Trailblazers have won 9 of their last 10 games and are cooking right now.
Yeah.
Like,
wow.
Whichever team gets into the play-in, like,
ooh. Hopefully the Rockets make it.
They'll be fine.
They'll be out of the play-in.
I hope. But I also think that, hey, if the Rockets do want to do the Durant thing next in the coming months, it's going to be easy. I mean, Durant's going to want out, and there will be teams that sniff around, but I don't think that teams are going to offer that much. I imagine now that everyone knows it's out of the bag, like, maybe there's a little collusion that goes on, say, like, hey, let's all agree we don't go past a certain point when it comes to trying to get him.
It's also like, how desperate are you going to be for a guy who's going to be
34, 35, 36?
30, I think like 36 or 37 next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's, so you're going to have, let's say the Suns miss the playoffs.
37 in September. God.
Like, besides sending out like contracts that match his, like, if they have the 15th pick in the lottery that the Rockets have from the Suns, like, do you just give that back plus match salary?
Yeah, that's it. It's like, probably like that. And however you match, and you don't even need to like perfectly match. You can decline Fred VanVleet's option and then get under the tax, and then you can just, or get under the salary cap, and then use your cap space to take Durant's salary. So that would help the Suns get cheaper, because if they're trading Kevin Durant, like, they're going to want to get cheaper.
Even then, like, I don't want to trade for, like, I like the idea of Kevin Durant, but like, part of me, don't you want to see Kevin Durant get traded somewhere else if you're the Rockets? Because then Devin Booker demanding a trade feels like that increases
and
exponentially. Where, like, if you trade assets for Kevin Durant to Phoenix, you might not also be able to then go back to Phoenix for Devin Booker.
And Devin Booker is 10 years younger than Kevin Durant, and only, what, like 6 years older than all your best players currently?
Could you get both of them?
Theoretically, it's possible. Oh, actually, no, it isn't possible. They would have, the Phoenix Suns would have to get under the second apron. You can't, if you're over the second apron in the NBA, you can't trade two players together.
That's right.
So I guess it would have to be two different deals, maybe, but it's theoretically possible.
We'll see what happens. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Super Bowl. Licks! It's Sunday. Line is still KC by one. If you are looking at this game and you're looking at the Eagles to win it, we think you're crazy. But how do they pull this thing off? And who's most likely to win MVP in this game? We'll discuss. Stay put.
You're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Super Bowl licks in New Orleans. It's the Chiefs. It's the Eagles. So generally, the quarterback wins the MVP. It's a bit disappointing. I feel like there have been Super Bowls where the quarterback wasn't actually the best player and still the quarterback won the MVP. I think we've seen a lot of those, honestly.
I do think that this year, for if one team wins it, it is very possible that the MVP isn't the quarterback.
Saquon?
Yeah, if Saquon goes for 120 yards, two touchdowns, like I feel like Saquon will get it.
Can you guys guess the last time that a running back won Super Bowl MVP?
A running back?
Yeah.
Marshall Faulk, 1999.
I was going to say Jerome Bettis.
Sean, you were warm. The last time a running back won MVP.
Is it Terrell Davis?
Terrell Davis.
Oh, my God.
Super Bowl 32.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that insane?
That Marshall is Faulk, nuts.
Now, running back coach for Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah, Marshall Faulk never won a Super Bowl MVP because it was Kurt Warner for Super Bowl 34. I'll give you all the MVPs from that point on. Because the 2 years before that, it was 96 Larry Brown and 97 Desmond Howard. It used to be a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
But from that point on, John Elway, Kurt Warner, Ray Lewis, Tom Brady, Dexter Jackson, a Buccaneers safety who had two pick sixes against the Raiders.
Yep.
Brady again, Deion Branch, Hines Ward, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Santonio Holmes, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, Malcolm Smith, a linebacker for the Seahawks, Tom Brady, Von Miller, Tom Brady, Nick Foles, Julian Edelman, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Cooper Kupp, Patrick Mahomes.
So you say, did you say three linebackers?
Four defensive players.
Yeah, four defensive players.
But mostly wide receivers as the other guys who won.
No, I'm just saying four defensive players, including Malcolm Smith and whoever the safety for the Bucs was, won before a running back.
Correct. Yeah.
Dominic Rhodes, by the way, was robbed.
That's what I thought. 06. That Super Bowl where Peyton Manning won, I thought that the running backs for the Colts were both better than Peyton in that game. But hey, you know, they're going to give it to the guy who finally gets his first Super Bowl victory.
The 07, at least the 07 one for the Giants should have been the entire four-man front. It should have been just down the line. What, Strahan, Tuck? I forgot the other guys. Mathias Kiwanuka.
Oh, Sean. Pulling him out the bag right now.
Strahan was still there for that one. I'm surprised they didn't give it to Strahan, but I don't think Strahan had a sack in that game. So that might have been the reason why. Whatever the case, it is rare that anyone other than a quarterback or wide receiver gets it. And when it's a defensive player, it does seem to be half the time just some random guy.
Yeah. It's like whoever caught the interception, basically.
Yeah. You got to get a touchdown, most likely.
Yeah. Because did Malcolm Smith score a touchdown in that one?
I think he did. And I think for Von Miller, did Von Miller score a touchdown?
No, he just had a million sacks. And maybe a forced fumble.
Yeah, he had the one where Cam Newton was afraid to jump on it, right?
Yeah, I felt like Von Miller picked it up and ran a couple of yards with it and didn't quite score.
Yeah, maybe he was. You might be right, Paul. You might be right.
James Harrison didn't win. I guess Santonio Holmes had that catch, but
yeah.
Harrison did have that pick six right before halftime. Yeah. He did change the game. I can't believe he got into the end zone.
I know.
Because the clock ran out. It was the last play of the first half.
The entire time, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be like a great play that's all for nothing. And he actually scored.
Yeah, because he took forever to get all the way down the field. So who do you think is going to win MVP? I would say Saquon, but I feel like they're going to give it to Jalen Hurts if the Eagles win. And Saquon would probably be cool with that, given that this is the same guy who didn't go for the 2,100, whatever it is, yard rushing record, yeah. Sits out the last game. I feel like he'd be okay with it. It's a Super Bowl after all.
Yeah, I'll tell you, but I don't think they win if he doesn't win the MVP. I mean, the way that James Cook was running against the Chiefs, like there's a weakness there. So I think if the Eagles are going to win, like Saquon's going to have to rush for 150 plus. If he does that with like a touchdown or two, it's going to be his.
God, there just is so many reasons to pick the Eagles.
I know.
That's another one that we didn't even list earlier.
And it's probably the most logical one, honestly, of all of it. It's just, I mean, because like even like the Chiefs have some good corners that can match up with A.J. Brown.
But they're missing one of them because they traded Snead to the Titans this offseason.
Yeah, but McDuffie's been good.
Jarius Snead. But McDuffie's a very good corner, no doubt about it. But you're going up against a really good receiver corps. It's one thing, you know, to have both those guys when you're going up against Deebo Samuel, who's not as good of a receiver. It was like great after the catch, is more so than good as a receiver. But also, you know, Ayuk and stuff. For the 49ers, that was a really good receiver corps. But this Eagles team, I mean, between those two guys, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, like, that's going to be tough. And yet, like, even though it makes so much sense, you can't do it. You can't pull the trigger.
I kind of want to, like, if I'm going to go for someone else
Dallas
now,
Goddard, like, scary.
Do I want to go for, like, Zach Bond, the linebacker from the Eagles? That dude's all over the place when he's out there.
Does he get an interception and a pass intended for Travis Kelce?
Yeah. Or maybe one of the pass rushers for
It sounds for like Philly. Jalen Carter returned to practice today, finally, after being sick all week.
Jalen QB Carter. One. Yeah. Plus 7,000 on my bookie right now.
Karlaftis, like the way they started the playoffs, if he like cooks the Eagles.
I just don't see any way that someone not named Mahomes or Kelce wins Super Bowl MVP for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think it's Kelce is the one that I would watch out for just because like if this is the
NFL
last
wants
dance,
to give it to him.
Yeah.
And then they want the moment with Taylor Swift up on the stage.
I mean, think about 1500.
MVP Super Bowl champion proposes to Taylor Swift retires.
What a moment. I'm going to Disney World.
What a moment.
Can you bet on Taylor Swift to be allowed on the stage with the Super Bowl celebration?
I would assume so.
That tab is on my bookie.
Because last year, when she was there, she did not go all the way up to the stage. By the way, guess who was at the NFL Honors Awards last night?
The GOAT?
No.
T-Swift?
No. Because Travis Kelce wasn't there because of the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan?
Michael Jordan?
No.
Jordan, whatever.
Belichick's girlfriend.
Jordan Hudson.
Future Jordan Belichick?
Yeah, Jordan Belichick was there.
No.
Who else was there?
I couldn't believe this happened. Someone actually sent me this because now I have an army of T-Swifties. Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend was at the NFL Honors last night.
Why?
Kayla Nicole was at that, and all of a sudden, guess what? She's back in the headline. She's making her pick. She's predicting Super Bowl 59.
She better pick the Eagles.
Why is she
there? She picked the Bills last week. She is picking Kansas City.
What? No.
I love how there's guess how many articles there are about this?
Five?
Too many. Yes.
Okay.
More than five. Travis Kelce's ex, Kayla Nicole, opens up about dating an athlete 1 hour ago. This, I want to say the bad word. Can I say the bad word?
I wouldn't.
Psycho stalker.
Yes, that's fair.
She showed up at the NFL Honors.
But she had to get invited, Paul.
That's true, but she looked like she was taking pictures by herself.
Okay, I was going to ask if she was someone's plus
one. No, if it was plus one, that would make sense. But it looks like she was there on her own.
Maybe she's friends with, has she, got into, the Josh Allen crew?
Well, she claims to be a sports journalist, and she's not at all. And this is what a lot of the people who were coming back at me, because they said, you're just jealous of a successful black woman. I'm like, she's not a journalist. She just dated somebody. She hasn't done anything with her life since then, except for monetize the fact that she used to date this guy who's now dating the most famous person on the planet. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Why do you go? It's so weird.
That's all she's got? What else does she have?
She got kicked off of the Special Forces show. She didn't make it. She was eliminated.
The one with Cam Newton?
Right. She was on that show too.
Do you watch that?
No, I am way too up on Travis Kelce's ex because she won't stop talking about him, and I went super viral for talking about this once.
Okay.
It's crazy.
I just want to make sure you weren't. Because I knew that. I just want to make sure. Like, Special Forces, like, you come at me for a lot of the bad television.
No.
I won't even watch Special Forces.
I wouldn't watch that either. No, but there's an interview where she's being asked, like about things, and she says, like, yeah, I used to date Travis Kelce. And one of the first things she brings up. And then at the very end, when she gets voted off, she does this speech where she's talking about, you know, how she's made friends here. Mm-hmm. And she says, I thought I was going to have a family. I thought I was going to have a husband. And then I met you guys. It felt like I was really developing something like that. Ah! It's crazy. Anyway, sorry. I can't believe that this person keeps on popping back into my life.
Gator fried rice.
His life. Travis Kelce's life. She's trying to force her way back in.
Says she was a sideline reporter for the Lakers?
No, she wasn't a sideline reporter. She was not. She was basically like the in-studio host.
Okay.
She claims sports journalism. Shut up. That's not... You're just a hot person with a microphone. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but don't go out of here and try to claim sports journalism.
She's
here.
Just there because she's used to Travis.
That was before, though.
What's her name?
We're not giving her publicity. We're not doing it. She's Travis Kelce's ex. That's what she wants to be known as. She wants to be known as Travis Kelce's ex. So that's all we'll say.
What a sad thing to be known for. Like, that's all you got?
Yeah. Largo is funny. Says, Polly sounds jealous. Yes, I am. How is she? It drives me crazy. This person is just continuing to get meal tickets to relevance because she dated someone who's now dating someone who's famous. Insane.
Yeah, 3 hours ago from page 6, Kayla Nicole, sorry, Paul, puts her dreams on the back burner to support ex-Travis
what
Kelce
dreams?
During the relationship. It was a, quote, struggle.
It's insane. She it just keeps bad. She keeps on, like, everyone wants to ask her about this. It's been 3 effing years. Move on. It was an on and off relationship. I know too much about this. I know way too much
Did
about
Did they meet
this.
On that reality TV show?
No!
Catching Kelce?
No. And a texter points out she's smoking hot. Yes, Kayla Nicole is a beautiful woman. There's no denying that. But she's not so strong and independent, in my opinion, seeing as she's crashing the NFL Honors Awards last night.
She's doing interviews here, it looks like, on the red carpet.
Is she the interview subject?
No, she's interviewing Derrick Henry right here in this video I'm watching.
Oh, my God.
Journalist.
She's a real capital J journalist now.
Well,
for what outlet is she? Does her microphone have a logo on it?
No, I can't tell what it says.
Okay.
So she might be doing on her own brand.
Like independent journalist.
It's insane, though. This is stalker behavior. This is 100% stalker behavior. And she's going to claim that she's a sports journalist based off of this. And the BS thing is, like, she gets access to this. Why? Because she's been relevant, like, 2 years ago. I watched her demo reel. I watched her demo reel. Joe, people want this content from me. I don't know what to say. They want this content from me. I'm going to post this clip. It'll probably blow up again. And I don't understand why. But people want this content from me. Do you know what the first thing on her demo reel is? Do you know what it's from?
I bet you it's her and Travis.
No, it's not, okay. Actually. Which, credit to her. She was at something called the, and I bleep you not, the Ween Awards.
What's that for?
It's women empowering, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't stand for Wiener, but it's she was at the Ween Awards. She's going around interviewing people.
This claims she used to work for Barstool?
No, she did not. She did not. I know that place's history pretty well. She did not. There's lots of claims out there like she did this, she did that, she did this, she did that. No, she has forged her resume more than Jack effing Easterby. It's crazy.
She's on the red carpet, though.
Yeah, I know. This is, again, one of many reasons where, yeah, I'm jealous and I'm a hater.
You wish you were at NFL Honors.
Yes, I do.
See, we should have gone.
It's my favorite league.
You know what? Guys, I don't know about the rest of the station. We're going to Radio Row next year because I want the confrontation. Paul versus Kayla on the red carpet. I need it. I need you to interview Kayla Nicole on the red carpet now. Why are you here?
It'd be very funny if at the end of all this, you make a brand off of someone who being angry at someone who made a brand off of leeches. It's like, I mean, just all the way down.
That's what's happening right now. That's what's happening. And I suppose that's what I have to do. You just got to be a leech. You have to be a leech that just doesn't stop sucking. You keep on sucking and glugging on that blood.
It
you know?
Works, it works.
That blood. Okay. The blood. The blood. Right. Okay. The blood.
I was wondering what we're doing to get our way to the top.
Anyways, thank you for allowing me to just go on that little mini rant there. Let's just go straight into the 10-minute drill and talk about the things that actually happened at the NFL Honors.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
So, Josh Allen is the NFL MVP. Per Ian Rappaport, it's a stunner. I don't know if it's a stunner. Honestly, if I had a vote for the MVP, I would have given it to Josh Allen. I would have given it to Josh Allen because the Bills had 13 wins. The Ravens had 12. Mm-hmm. I would have given it to Josh Allen because he did not have Stephon Diggs going into this year. They did trade for Amari Cooper at the trade deadline. He did not have very good statistics. I would give it to Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson because Lamar Jackson got Derrick Henry. And yeah, I'll admit there was a little bit of fatigue with the playoff performance that he had last year. Thinking it was going to be different this year. He did play better in that game against the Bills, but he did have a couple of costly mistakes in that game. I don't think it's a stunner that Josh Allen won. It's just strange that people voted Lamar Jackson as first team All-Pro and the same voters voted for Josh Allen as MVP.
I think that's why it's surprising, because we already knew that award or recognition for these players. So I think that's why people were surprised, because we all just assumed the voting would follow suit. I didn't realize, honestly, that it was the same people that voted on this for both those awards. So that's why it's surprising. I'm with you, though. I would have voted for Josh Allen for the same reason. Mostly, Derrick Henry was with Lamar this year. It makes him less valuable by the definition of the award, where Josh Allen, yes, he is James Cook, but his wide receiver room is worse. His defense was worse this year. He was on the worst team, and he did more with it, I thought, in the regular season. Could have gone either way, though.
That's why I don't really like the MVP, or that's part of the reason I don't like MVP, is because it turns into who had worst teammates award.
Yeah.
It's like, who cares? Like, what are we talking about?
I'm bummed out no one had the balls to give Saquon Barkley MVP.
Did he not get a vote?
He did not get one first-place vote. Wow. So the way that it's voted now, you get a first-place vote, second-place vote, third-place vote, and a fourth-place vote.
The Russell Wilson rule, yes.
Right. And voting is on a 10-5-3-2-1 basis, I guess. So I'm not sure how that 100% works, but Allen got 27 first-place votes. Jackson got 23. Allen got 22 second-place votes. Jackson got 26. One vote for Josh Allen was a third-place vote. One vote for Lamar Jackson was a fourth-place vote. No one voted Saquon Barkley as first. He had one vote for second. No one voted Joe Burrow, who I think had a very compelling case for MVP, as MVP either. He had one second-place vote.
Yeah, actually, I thought it was going to be closer from Josh Allen, Lamar, Saquon, Joe Burrow. I thought there was going to be more argument. And, like, I do think you have to win for me to be, if I were to give you a top two vote, like, Joe Burrow's team didn't make the playoffs, and I know it's not his fault.
That's fair.
It's the argument of why, because, you know, Jamar Chase is a Triple Crown winner this year. No votes for Offensive Player of the Year. Doesn't make any sense. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in terms of voting.
Ever heard.
I mean, he won the Triple Crown. He didn't get a single vote for Offensive Player of the Year. That's crazy.
It is bizarre.
That's absolutely insane. But I thought Saquon would get more first-place votes. I thought it was going to be a little bit closer. But the top five makes sense. Jared Goff being the fifth guy, I think that's totally fair.
More awards. Coach of the Year, Kevin O'Connell. Yep. I agree with that one.
Totally.
Comeback Player of the Year, Joe Burrow. I mean, he was hurt for half the year.
I kind of hate the Comeback Player of the Year, because I don't really know, like, are they coming back? There's coming back from injuries?
Are they coming back from being dead?
Yeah.
Like Damar Hamlin.
Remember, he didn't
get it because Joe Flacco won it, right? Yeah. And Flacco was just like, wait, he's coming back from sucking. No team wanted him?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Being no bad at football.
But then, like,
football?
I hated the Damar Hamlin thing was like, well, yeah, you know, he died.
On the field for a second.
But like, also, like, then no one voted for John Metchie. And I was like, well, this is stupid. Like, if you're going to do sentimental votes, then just do sentimental votes.
Yeah.
He beat cancer, came off an ACL, played in NFL games. Like,
again, are we deciding on, like,
so I'm saying,
who's the best player that overcame something or who overcame the most? Or is it somewhere in the middle?
I think it's somewhere in the middle.
I think it's whoever we want to effing give an award to.
Because DeMar Hamlin still got votes this year. What's he coming back from? He came back,
coming back from
being dead.
Oh, he actually played in games this year, so he came back.
Yeah,
from
he
that?
Was actually good this year.
Mm-hmm. Saquon Barkley, Offensive Player of the Year. Patrick Surtain, Defensive Player of the Year. They gave it to a defensive back. That's surprising. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Jaden Daniels. Defensive Rookie of the Year, which Kamari Lassiter was not nominated for. He should have been. Jared Verse, the Rams, really good defensive player. Jaden Daniels' Hail Mary against the Bears was the moment of the year. Sorry, Joe. The Walter Payton Man of the Year, Eric Armstead, the Jaguars. I wonder, they probably just focused on the Commanders' side of that Hail Mary and not the dumbass Tyreek Stevenson jawing with fans.
Yeah.
That helps make it, though.
It does make it. I think it's part of the moment.
It made it a better moment.
Yeah, I think it's like, it's all-encompassing.
Tyreek Stevenson has to be the dumbass of the year because it's the same guy who got into it with Nico Collins.
Yeah. He's trying to be CJ Gardner-Johnson.
Right.
They should do dumbass of the year.
I would love that.
I think they should do worst coach of the year. Probably Eberflus. Biggest bust of the year.
Yeah.
Probably Caleb.
CJ Stroud. Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Or like, yeah, anti-coach of the year. An anti-GM of the year. Yeah.
Anti-assistant coach of the year. Bobby Slowick.
Anti-comeback player of the year. Who got worse?
Yeah, who was the worst thing ever? Who did we not want to see return?
Who fell off? You should have stayed retired.
Joe Flacco. Anti-comeback player of the year.
Kirk Cousins.
We also found out about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Eli Manning did not get in his first year of eligibility. Antonio Gates did get in. It's the smallest Hall of Fame class since 2005. It also featured Sterling Sharp. So he and Shannon Sharp, the first brothers, to make it to the NFL Hall of Fame. I love that.
Damn.
I love that. Damn.
They just robbed the Manning
just team. And rubbing it in, too.
I think they did it on purpose.
Jared Allen, who brought wearing number 69 back. Shout out to him. And Eric Allen also made it. So just a four-person Hall of Fame class. It's the smallest since 2005.
I'm just glad Eli didn't get in first ballot.
Yeah, I am too.
I think he's going to get in because it's not the Hall of Fame anymore. It's the Hall of Very Good.
But given Mariano Rivera was a unanimous vote to the Hall of Fame, and Derek Jeter was an all but one unanimous vote to the Baseball Hall of Fame, like the New York Mafia, like imposing their will here. It is a real thing.
Yeah. Oh, and CeCe Sabathia being first ballot, like,
yeah,
it is crazy.
If Eli Manning had, I get it with CeCe because he did have the 3,000 strikeouts, but
Eli's got two Super Bowls.
Yeah, he does. He also, 500 record.
Exactly.
Record,
wins when it counts.
He's 117-117. It's hard for me to be like, that's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, was the showstopper of the NFL honors.
She was.
She looked like a very strong, powerful, independent woman. She was wearing her Bridgewater State cheerleader championship ring or something. It was a big ring. Bill Belichick was wearing all of his rings. Snoop Dogg was the MC of the NFL Honors Awards. He was wearing a head-to-toe Steelers uniform, wearing number 20.
Yeah.
And he roasted Belichick and Hudson. Hudson's face is pretty funny when she hears this joke.
Because I've been a football fan for a long, long time. I mean, I remember back when the Cowboys was good. I remember back when the Chiefs was bad. And I remember, what was it? Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
Belichick's smirking and Jordan Hudson's like,
Well, because Bill's just like, yep.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I know. Yeah.
It's two consenting adults, okay?
It's weird.
You let it be weird.
It's weird, but... But
I'm kidding. It's weird.
No, it's weird, but good for Bill.
Good for Bill.
Yeah, good for Bill.
It's weird. It's too weird for me to say good for Bill.
I mean, she could be a cheerleader at North Carolina next year. Like,
I guess. If she hasn't graduated yet, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, she wouldn't be the oldest person involved, I'm guessing, in Carolina football.
Yeah, 25, 24.
I'm guessing they have a 25-year-old tight end somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible.
I better keep her away from the team then.
Oh, what does that mean?
Maybe she'll find someone younger.
Maybe.
I mean, she could have literally anyone younger than her current boyfriend.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. That is the 10-minute drill. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're 5 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach. What are we to make of this Alex Bregman update that we saw last night? And the commissioner of baseball finally weighs in on the Dodgers cheating the system. Stay put.
This is Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
One text I need to address. There's some truth in it, but it's painful. From the 832, Paul will forever be jealous of people who are more important than him. Yes, I will fully admit that. I'll never lie. I am. You are a low-rated radio host. That's untrue. But she ranks higher. Huh. I just don't want her to claim being a sports journalist. That's it. Okay? You boinked Travis Kelce on and off for multiple years. Good mm-hmm. for you. Good for you.
Like, she just turned it into something.
I mean, like, the best I could do is, what could I say? Really, all I've got is, like, one time I dated somebody who was in a traveling Broadway show. Or I dated somebody who has the same last name as a powerful family that is also a part of that family. That's all I got.
I'm intrigued now.
And I should have made my...
I don't know that one.
I should have made my brand that. Oh, it's too far. Too far at this point down to go back.
So. Can we get Paul like a...
Chelsea Clinton?
Oh. Can we get Paul like a WNBA girl?
Had the Rockets or the Comets come?
Yeah, I mean, it would be now. I think Cameron Brink's engaged, but it would be pretty funny just from an optics perspective because Cameron Brink's a full foot taller than me. It would be kind of funny. People would be like, "Who's this soy boy cuck dating Cameron Brink?" And then people would hate on me for that. But anyway, she's a strong, powerful, independent woman, as is just about everyone except for Kayla Nicole. Anyway, we're closer and closer to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach, 5 days away. Jeff Bagwell days away. Give me that bone.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
So, from Ari Alexander and others, I think John Heyman put this out there as well. The Astros have improved their initial offer to free agent third baseman Alex Bregman, but that improved offer is unlikely to get the deal done, according to his source. That's the latest we have. I do think it is Scott Boras' gamesmanship trying to drum up more competition for an offer that no one's been willing to match, that the Astros offered, which is six years, $156 million. So I guess it's a slightly more than that. Is it 6 years, $160? Is it? We don't know the actual details, but it doesn't seem like anyone's biting or saying to themselves, oh, the Astros increased their offer, we'll do the same thing. Because you would think that there would be some sort of reporting of that to drum up more interest after that. No one's that desperate for Bregman.
Yeah, it just seems like people don't want to... They just don't want to give him what he wants. Like, no matter what side of it is. Length, money, dollars, whatever. Like, they're just not going to get there. I really don't... We'll wait and see what happens. I kind of am flipping back to the other way now, like to what Sean was saying earlier. Like, the longer this goes, feels like more likely the chance that Alex Bregman's an Astro. Unless something like dramatic happens in spring training that makes someone desperate, which, like, could be the Astros. Like, if anything happens, we saw what happened last year. As soon as Graveman got hurt, Jim panicked, and Jim Crane panicked, and he just went all in on Josh Hader. Like,
yeah,
Altuve runs into a wall, and Alex Bregman's back.
It really could be that. Or just, like, Isak Paredes, high ankle sprain, out 6 to 8 weeks.
God, don't.
Now Alex Bregman signs the highest contract in Astros team history,
just like
which
Kendall
he
Graveman,
is already being offered.
Like Kendall Graveman to Josh
Hader
last
where it's like
year.
You do. There is a setback. You do like have a missing piece, but then you get the Cadillac version of what that missing piece is.
Yeah, never underestimate the. And I hate to put it on the training staff or medical staff, but never underestimate the bone saws. You're going nowhere close to the field for the next 3 months with a shin bruise. You're going nowhere. Like those guys always seem to find ways to keep Astros players off the field for a long period of time. And I like to blame them even if it's not their fault.
It feels like we can blame them, though.
Kyle Tucker thing.
It's either them
or
the communication.
The communication's horrible.
Yeah, we know that for sure. Like,
we know
think
that.
Back to Dusty Baker.
But I don't
which
know
hand
if it's both.
How many hands?
Yeah, I don't know if it's both. Where it's like it is the communication of the mistreatment, or if it's just communication.
I do think with Dana Brown's a little bit different. I think he is overly optimistic about injuries.
Yeah,
and it's biting him in the ass because of what he had promised, and then now it's not happened with Garcia, McCullers, Tucker, and their returns from injury. And feels like we'll be the same with Christian Javier, where they're telling everyone the right things.
Yeah.
But it's either a flat-out lie, or he hears from the doctor, the earliest is this, and then he stops listening to, like, everything that says that.
Even then, like, Tommy John is not 12 months. It is longer than 12 months, and if Javier got Tommy John in June of last year, saying he's going to come back after the All-Star break or at the All-Star break, like, that is just not how Tommy John surgery works.
Nope. It's not. It's a good point.
According to them, it is.
So, we've also got an update on the Dodgers and their blatant disrespect for the economics of the 29 other teams. I won't shame them for it. It's nice to have an ownership group that cares enough about a fan base to spend that much money. You just wish it wasn't the Dodgers. Rob Manfred had this to say about baseball and the lack of a salary cap yesterday. Rob Manfred, quote, "This is an issue we need to be vigilant on. We need to pay attention to it and need to determine whether there are things that can be done to allay those kinds of concerns and make sure we have a competitive and healthy game going forward." No bleep. More from Manfred. "The Dodgers are a really well-run, successful organization. Everything they do is consistent with our rules. These are all positives. Trying to give your fans the best possible product. I recognize, however, and my emails certainly reflect, that there are fans in other markets who are concerned about their team's ability to compete. And we always have to be concerned when our fans are concerned about something. But pinning it on the Dodgers, I'm not in that camp." I'd rather pin it on the 29 other owners who are cheap, because I think there's a lot of cheap owners in baseball who get away from it. But I really wonder, what's Rob Manfred, spineless sock puppet of the Players Association, going to do here?
Well, I think the problem is that the owners are going to want a salary cap. Like, they're going to want to cap this thing. And years, I think they want to look more like the NFL, is what my gut tells me, in terms of, like, you have a rookie contract, you can be extended, maybe you hit free agency, maybe there's a franchise tag, but they've got bigger problems than, like, spending money. You've got multiple teams without a home, either in a real stadium or on television. You've got multiple markets who have created television stations that are just getting obliterated financially,
mm-hmm.
and are losing money. Like, you have a bunch of markets that, like, they're not even on TV. So, like, They got bigger problems. But the Dodgers, I just don't view them as this like massive problem. The Yankees did not win every World Series. The best baseball team I've ever seen in my life. Straight up, not being a homer here for Astros fans, is the 2019 Astros. There's no better team I think I'll ever see. Even this Dodgers team. Like, Kyle Tucker batted eighth. Like, Jordan Alvarez is in that lineup with Correa and Springer and all those guys. You have Cole, Verlander, Greinke.
Yeah, and Gerrit Cole didn't give up, like, an earned run for 2 months or whatever it was. It was crazy.
And they lost. It's baseball.
And they lost to a team that won, like, 88 regular season games.
Like, they lost.
That had two good bullpen arms.
The Dodgers might win the next three World Series. Yes. They're not ruining baseball.
They'll be the favorites for the next three. Yeah. But we don't know if they'll actually win them.
The A's owner, the Cubs owner, the Rays owner, the Orioles owner.
Yeah. Although they got a new one now, so that's at least better.
Yeah, but like they're supposed to be one of the best teams in the American League. They haven't signed a single major free agent this offseason.
I was going
to
say, he's like the anti-Matt Ishbia, where he buys the team and then immediately... normally they make the mistake by spending too much money. He's doing the opposite.
He's just like, I'm just here.
Yeah. Like, just no need to rush into things. Like, no, actually, guys, your fan base would love for you to re-sign Corbin Burns.
Yeah, like, you might be the biggest threat to the Dodgers. And they're just like, eh.
Yeah.
I mean, even only the Mets have only signed two guys this offseason, basically.
I don't know how you incentivize them to spend. You would think, though, that they would realize that we should.
I think that's why where the salary cap comes in is like you give them a floor, you give them a ceiling, and it kind of forces the balance.
Yeah, because like NBA teams are forced to spend up to 90 or at least 90% of the salary cap. So if you don't, all you have to do is then write a check for the difference and give it to all the players on your team. But at least like every team in the NBA is going to spend up to the salary cap or up to that point of the salary cap. NFL is somewhat, I think it's similar to that. Baseball is the only one where it's like you have a $300 million payroll and also a $50 million payroll.
One final thought. You're right on that. Maybe something that you add to baseball standings. What's their profit margin for each team?
I was going to say, maybe baseball teams just aren't as successful as we think they are. Maybe like the business of owning a baseball team like is bad.
That's what's crazy though. The Mariners were like second in profit like a couple of years ago when they stunk.
Because they don't spend any money.
But there's also I think some of these owners are lying about like
definitely.
Like they
at least publicly.
And like the stadium profit versus their payroll profit like might equal like they look like they made a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them made like really bad investments.
Yeah, and maybe they're embezzling some of it. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Like, you think if Jim Crane opens a bunch of bars and restaurants that are struggling to get people in them is good for the Astros? It's not.
No.
Because that's bad on your profit.
No. Because, yeah, people will come only if
they
win. Because that area is not ideal. It's better than it was for what it's worth. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. It's Galana George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Super Bowl licks just a couple of days away. An ugly loss for the Rockets last night. Stick around.
ESPN.